So I'm not at all sure how those musicians change their clothes like three times during a concert. Just saying, it's a lot of work. But you do it for the art. It's a great day to be in the house of the Lord. People always tell me, they say, you know, Christmas is great. I love Easter. This is the time we get to celebrate the life-giving Spirit. The fact that we're going to talk about today is the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. The Spirit that was now available to us and in us that can change us. And so we're just going to really dig into what it means to having the Spirit of Christ within us, the Spirit of God. The Bible is very clear that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are all God. And so throughout this passage we're going to see in Romans 8, we're going to see the fact that the Father is involved, the Son is involved, and the Spirit is involved in the resurrection of Christ, in the death of Christ and his resurrection, so that we can be born again, so we can be made new, and not be victims, and not be slaves to sin, and not be down in our what we deserve. So if you turn with me to Romans chapter 8, so we're going to talk about what it is, like I was saying, the life-giving Spirit, and how the Spirit gives us life. And so if you see in verse 1 of Romans 8, it says, therefore, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law weakened by the flesh could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. I think one of the things that I've talked about this many times, but we as Christians and non-Christians too, if we really examine our lives, we can say, you know what? We're not perfect. We're not so great. In fact, you might even tell people, well, I'm not perfect. Well, I'm not this. So all of us have sinned, the Bible says. All of us, and people talk about, you know, the harshness, but all of us deserve death for our sins. And this passage just comes right out and says, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. This is the equivalent of doing all crime that we've done and just having a judge say, you know what? No condemnation for you. You are free. You are set free. The Spirit sets us free from the condemnation. This is a legal term that he's using here. The law's jurisdiction, if you look at the Old Testament, and you look at, just stick with the Ten Commandments. If we could just maybe do with the Ten Commandments, I don't think any of us can do that. And then you go further and further, and you're like, I can't do any of this. I can't make it. I'm not that perfect. I'm not that. And God says to us today, but you know what? The Spirit sets you free. The whole concept is that you are set free. There's no condemnation. There's no punishment. When we die and we stand before God, he's going to declare us innocent, not because we are, but because of what Christ did on the cross and because he rose from the dead. And those, it says, in Christ Jesus, those who belong to Christ, we live in the realm of Christ. Those who are part of him have this. And there is no other way. This is something that is very common today in our society. You have your beliefs, I have my beliefs, we're all fine. Christ doesn't lie to you. He says, in Christ Jesus, there is life. There is no life outside of Christ Jesus. There is no other way. Because he's honest with us and says, this is, you know, our society changes all the time and we come up with different ideas, but Christ is the same. For he has set us, the law of the Spirit has set us free from the law of sin and death. In other words, the principle of the Spirit is that we have a new life now. And we have, the Spirit sets us free from the sin and death that we deserve. And why the Spirit can set us free is in verse 3. For God has done what the law weakened by the flesh could not do. In other words, if we tried to do everything right, if we tried to do everything right, we would fail. Anybody comfortable with that? I'm just like, some of us here are like, yeah, speak for yourself, you know. But I think if we really examine ourselves, we can say, no, I can't do it. I'm not capable. Now, there are people that are very good people. And this is, again, something Our culture tells us, you just have to be a good person. Well, you know what? When we break it down, none of us are. All of us have sin. All of us have faults. Well, you know we have faults, but we're still good. But in the Bible, it's very clear, if we break one part of the law, we've broken it all. And so, but you say, well, that's too harsh, that's too harsh. And the answer to this, Paul says in Romans, is, it is, but the Son has set you free. Because he rose from the dead. Because the Spirit of Christ, who raised Christ from the dead, dwells in you, you are set free. So you have this ability. He sent his own Son in the flesh. So Christ died on the cross in the flesh so that we could be set free. He condemned sin. Think about this. We are celebrating today that Christ was nailed to a cross for us, took the punishment of death in the flesh. I can't imagine what that was like for him, to take all of our sin on himself. But he condemned sin. Look at that word. You saw that word before. Instead of us being condemned, he says, no, no, no. You're condemned, sin. He turns the tables. He says, I have condemned sin for you. If you are in me, there is no condemnation for you. And he says, the righteous requirement of the law. And you notice that word is righteous requirement, not with an S. In other words, we can't do everything that's in the law. We can't do it all right. But he says, by the righteousness of Christ, who did not sin, who had no sin, who took on our sin, he has the ability to condemn sin and fulfill all of the law. So in Christ, we have fulfilled it all. I've talked about this so many times, but I feel like when I get to heaven, when God says you're not guilty, I'm going to say, I'd like to protest. I don't know if you feel like that, because this is something I struggle with. Because all of us, when we really look at ourselves, we're like, yeah, but that's not the way God looks at it, because he condemns sin. He condemns sin in the flesh. So it says that those who walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit, that we walk in a new way now. And he's going to break this down later, but he's saying we don't no longer walk according to the flesh. We no longer. Now, if you're here, over on the other side, my wife, our children's pastor, is doing children's church. And, you know, at a certain point, you might be sitting in children's church. Maybe they're having more fun than we are. They probably are. But you probably think to yourself, you know, I mean, they get snacks. I hate to say that, but. But at a certain point, you're like, I'm not walking that way anymore. I don't want to do all the actions to the song and jump around. Okay, they have a lot more jumping. It's pretty cool. But I remember when I was a youth pastor, and I went to a youth convention, and I walked into the youth convention, and I said, man, the music's loud. And they went, who said that? Who said that? I'm getting old. All right, I'm no longer 20 anymore. Things that I liked when I was 20. You can talk about things that you've outgrown. Okay? Nobody here has a pacifier. You know, nobody has. You're like, oh, that's just silly. Why would we walk according to the flesh when we're in the Spirit? Same thing. Why would we walk as a child when we were an adult? I like being able to drive. All right? I don't want to go back to having to ask my mom to drive me around. But that's what we do when we walk according to our old way. He says, you have been set free. Walk like you're free. Walk in the Spirit now. Walk in this. And so verses 3 and 4 are just one long sentence in Greek. And he's just saying, he said, the sin was taken away. In the flesh, he took that away. The whole righteous requirement was for us so that we can have life. And then he says in verse 5, the Spirit gives us life. The Spirit not only sets us free, but he gives us life. It says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. And he's talking here about two kinds of people. He's talking about those who are in the flesh and those who are in the Spirit. And he's saying, he already told them that they are in the Spirit. And he's saying, when you are in the Spirit, we have our mind set on God. We have our mind set on, when we wake up in the morning, it's not just, what's going to be good for me? I mean, there's a lot of people, if we really are honest with ourselves, we're looking out for ourselves. There's a lot of people like to complain that, you know, it's not fair, it's not right, and sometimes it's not. But I think most of us are selfish inherently inside. We live according to ourselves and our own desires. And he says, those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit and of God. We wake up every day and we think to ourselves, how can I please God instead of how can I please my own desires? There's the difference. If you're always looking out for yourself, you're always looking out. I've heard it said, oh, you've got to look out for number one. You got to look out for number one. Yes, you do, and that's God. It's not yourself. Because I think if we all were looking out for ourselves, we come to a four-way stop and everybody's looking out for ourselves, we're going to crash in the middle. It's that concept of that. And he says this, you set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set on a life is life and peace. You have to understand, we don't know everything. As the more, somebody asked me the other day how many years I've went to college and school, and I added it up, and it's like, wow. You know, it's like a lot. But the older I get, the more I think, I don't know everything. Everybody says, what happens when you get a doctorate? You find out you're not that bright. I'm just going to summarize it for you. You find out there's a lot of smart people out there. There's a lot of people. And you don't know everything. But we know that we have life and peace when we're in the Spirit. We have true life. We have joy. We have understanding the fact that no matter what happens, we can have peace. No matter what. That's not possible outside of Christ. It's not possible because we can say the circumstances have to be this, this, and this, and then I have peace. Or it has to be this, this, and this. My life has to be going well. I have to have a good job. I have a good relationship. Everything is going my direction. Well, if we just took a mic and interviewed everybody here, nobody's got everything going in their direction. So that means we don't have peace, right? Yes, we do. Because the Spirit gives us peace. He gives us life and peace. And this is what's interesting, that when we are outside of Christ, we have our mind on the flesh, and it does not submit to God's law. I talked about just a minute ago, but the concept of I've decided what's right and I've decided what's wrong. I decide my desires. I desire to do this, thus it is right. And you must say that what I desire is right. The mind that is set on the flesh does not submit to God's law. We turn to God and say, I don't care what you did. I don't care your rules, your understanding. I get to decide for me. But when we are in Christ, when we are in the Spirit, we are set on God's law. And you know what? God's law is a life of peace. Sometimes people say, well, you are, I saw this the other day, in fact, when my friend posted that, he posted the thing saying, you know, all the Christians, and they're just evil, and they're telling us what to do, and they're out of these rules, and they showed a bunch of Christians looking like this. And it was like, that's what Christians are like. They just like rules, and they don't have any fun. No, it's life and peace. It's not about the rules. It's not about this. Because when God says to do something, it's because he wants you to have life and peace, not that he wants you to be disappointed and upset. I think a lot of times we as Christians can be like that. We can say, oh, God bless you. I hate my life, but I love Jesus. You know, it really stinks being a Christian, but I'm holding on just to the end. That's not really what it's about. That's not what this passage says. It says that it's life and peace. It says there's the hope for that. And it says outside of God, outside of the Spirit, we cannot please God. We cannot, in the flesh, cannot please God. We cannot do enough. We cannot do what is necessary for our own salvation. And it talks about on the sinful nature, if you look at the fruit of the Spirit and the things of the flesh, we cannot please God if we just listen to the flesh. It says in Galatians 5:19, now the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. And it just says, that's the mind of the flesh. When we let our flesh rule, that's what rules. But it says then, in just the next verse, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Which list do you like better? I like the second one. You say, well, the first one's got all the fun and got all the good stuff and all that. Not really. It's saying that's what God wants for you is that second list, the fruit of the Spirit. That's what's supposed to be in our lives. And we as Christians need to understand that and understand that we are in Christ. The next thing is the Spirit gives us a future. Verse 9 says, you, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. In fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Now, what I just said is that first list I talked about, the things of the flesh. I think if we were honest, we could look at that list and say, you know what? Those are some of the desires that my flesh tells me to do. Honestly, don't look at your neighbor and ask for, you know, it's just like, honestly, we could all look at that list and say, I struggle with one of those. Because it's always easy. I love when the pastor preaches about something I don't struggle with. Love that. I hate when they talk about things that I do. Because it's so much fun to say, oh, them. Yes, they're bad. But what about you? Well, I hope we don't get to that part. All right? We have to be honest with ourselves that there is something different. And the Spirit gives us a future. It says you, and he's pointing out to the people he's writing to. He says, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. And the Spirit of Christ, now this is where it comes into the resurrection. You say to yourself, I can't overcome those things in that list of the flesh. My flesh tells me to do this. My flesh tells me to do this. I have these desires. I can't overcome them. It's impossible. I just have to give in. I have to say, and I always talk about this, I have to just be an angry person and yell at everybody because that's the way I feel. And I'm just okay with that. Just can't get over it. My parents were like that. And I was always a nationality you have to attach to it. All right, I'm just saying, I'm German. Well, you know Germans. We like panzer tanks and running over Poland. You know, that's what we do. All right? So I can't help it, Pastor. All right? And you know what? In yourselves, you can't. But if the Spirit can raise Christ from the dead, you think he can do something in you? You have to put this in perspective. He puts that in there. He throws the resurrection in there. Because it's not normal for people to rise from the dead. I don't drive by cemeteries wondering, is somebody going to pop up? I never wonder that. Because it's not normal. Our whole faith is built on the fact that Christ has conquered death. That the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, that power is in you. It is in you. You're right, you can't do it on your own. I may be an angry German, and I can't do it. But the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead that dwells in me can. And it can give me a future. And the other thing that's important is that, I hate to be the one to tell you this, but we're all going to die. All right? You may just say, if I don't take out life insurance, then I never die. Or I don't think about it, it'll never happen. I mean, that's kind of an understanding. It's just like, you know, it's going to happen to all of us. And as Christ returns and takes us home before that, we are going to die. But it says very clearly that he dwells in us. And if your body is dead because of sin, what that means is, and I've talked about this, when every time I go to the gym, does anybody else go to the gym and look at people that are 20 and say, that's not fair? First of all, they're like eating a candy bar and, you know, working out, and they're like, I lost 10 pounds, you know, I'm feeling great. We're getting older, we're slowing down, it's not as easy as it used to be, all right? I watch, especially it's hard when the young ladies are out lifting me, and I'm like, oh, man. You know, it's just like, but we're getting older. Our flesh is decaying. Maybe we're, for guys, you know, we're losing hair, or we're getting bigger where we don't want to get bigger. We're all these things, and we feel like things are slowing down because we have this, the death that is going to come to all of us, because of sin. It says that all of us, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. We have life and hope. I have never done a funeral for somebody that is a believer in Christ where I have thought to myself, well, that's it. Because that would be really upsetting. If there is no hope, if there is no life, but there is a life. And it always interests me, the concept. And I notice it a lot of times. People will say that are not Christians, and they will say, you know what? I know that person's up in heaven looking down on us, or up in the sky looking down. And I'm like, why? Why? Why do we think that? Outside of Christ, there is no hope. There is no afterlife. I mean, there is no hope. There is no life after this. It's ultimate separation from God when we die. But in the spirit, there is life. Because, and it says because of righteousness. Again, that's not your righteousness. That's not your righteousness. It's that same thing in the beginning when it said there is no condemnation for you. When you get to heaven, God looks at you and he says, because of my son, that he took the sin, there is life for you. Amen. And it says, if the spirit who raised Christ from the dead, if he raised Christ from the dead, he can also give life to your mortal bodies. I know this is going to be a shocker. You might want to write it down. I'm not necessarily looking forward to death. I don't think anybody is. I don't think anybody's like, well, you know, really excited about it, looking forward to it, got it scheduled on my calendar. That's not a good thing. But I can say this, if I'm not here next Sunday, the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead can quicken my mortal body. I'm just telling you that is good news. And if he can raise Christ from the dead, he can raise you. He can give that to you. And he dwells in us. And that power that is in us. I remember as a youth, at youth camp in the 70s. Okay, that was a way. But it was during the Star Wars era. They talked about the spirit of God that dwells in you is like having the force. That was the big thing to use as a youth thing back in the 70s. But that, you know, it always is like the force. You can look at things and raise them up and like that. But that's nothing. The force is nothing. I hate to say that for Star Wars fans. But the spirit that dwells in you is much more powerful. Much more powerful. And it can do amazing things for you. So what's our responsibility? Paul puts it this way. Our responsibility says, so then, brothers, we are debtors, not in the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. What he's saying is, the same concept I was talking about earlier, is it's time to start walking in the Spirit. It's time to start saying that our bodies don't get to determine, he's very clear about this, our body doesn't determine what we are. In other words, it doesn't tell us, well, our body says that I'm supposed to just eat anything I want and never exercise and do like that. That's true. Ask a kid what they want to do. Eat ice cream all the time. What do you tell them? No. Okay? We all want things that are wrong. We all want things that are going to hurt us. And what he is saying is, if you are in the Spirit, you are debtors to not to the flesh. Now, he uses that term debtors because it says in the Bible that if we are outside of Christ, that we are slaves to sin. We are slaves. And this is something I think that always helps me when I struggle with maybe your neighbor is really mean or something like that. You say, you know what? Outside of Christ, people really do struggle with sinful desires. And there is no spirit to help them do it. But now that you've been set free, live like you're free. Live like you're free. You're no longer debtors to the flesh. You don't have to give into those things anymore. Are there still going to be struggles in your life? I wish I could tell you there weren't. Because I know that there's some, you know, people out there, well, once you're in the Spirit, and I had somebody call me once and yell at me on the phone. I love when people call me at the church and yell at me, just out of the blue. He said, Pastor, do you preach that you can sin after you become a Christian? And then he started just yelling at me for just a constant barrage for like 5 minutes. I just, you know, hold the phone here. But it was this concept, he says, you know what, that's wrong. The Bible says once you become a Christian, you never struggle with sin. I said, boy, I wish that was true. I mean, just because you say it doesn't mean it's true. Just because you say the Vikings are going to win the Super Bowl doesn't mean it's going to happen. We can hope. But just because of this, but we no longer are slaves to it. We no longer have to be away. We are still going to struggle with things. We are still, the Bible says, when you sin, confess your sins to, and can keep confessing. The Lord's prayer is, Lord, forgive us. All right? What are you supposed to do? Well, forgive us again. I wish there was a day that we... Now, it says that you should be growing, though. You should be growing closer to Christ because you no longer have to do those things. You have a choice. You have, and it doesn't, what's interesting about this, and I was reading commentaries on this week, it doesn't tell you how to do it. It doesn't give you 5 steps. As a pastor, you have to have 5 steps for everything. Do this, do this, do this, do this, do this, do this. You're done. I don't have those. What it tells you is rely on the Spirit. Rely on the Spirit of Christ. When you are tempted by something, you can now look to the Spirit of God that raised Christ from the dead, that dwells in you, that can give you hope and peace. But you have to work together with the Spirit. You have to say, I'm going to do these things. It says, you're supposed to put to death the deeds of the body. And I think it's so clear because again, the understanding today is, well, this is the way I am. This is the way I was raised, or this is my feeling, and this is that. It's true. All of us have those things. Every single one of us. But we are to put to death those things. By the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the body. You will live. And there's 2 concepts of that. A, you will live the best life you can possibly live in this world. And there's, again, there's the lie. Well, you Christians, you're missing out on all the fun. Get out in the world and have a good time because you're missing out. You know what? It's a lie. Christ wants you to have life and peace. And that term, you will live, is eternal too. You have eternal life, which begins today and lasts forever. And ever and ever. There is no end to it. And so today, what I just want to challenge you is, let's put to death the flesh. Let's not live according to that. Let's live. If we have the Spirit of Christ within us, it is time for us to start acting like we have the Spirit of Christ in us. It's time for us to put to death the flesh and say, you know what? You no longer rule me. God is in charge of my life. Why don't you stand with me right now?